Welcome to Hello Chaos. This is a weekly podcast exploring the messy and chaotic minds and lives of founders, entrepreneurs, and innovators. We drop new episodes every Sunday. We talk to founders and innovators of all company stages across all different sizes, industries. And what makes us unique is that we go deep. We don't just ask two or three questions. We ask a multitude of questions. We, these entrepreneurs and these business owners, they're sharing their story, the depth of their challenges, their wins, how they got there. And it's why our tagline is where aha meets oh shit. And we're doing a best of 2023. This is episode number 80. We drop this. This will be dropped on New Year's Eve of 2023. And we're rolling through to go. We recorded 48 episodes in 2023. What are our top 10? If you missed, we're going to talk episodes, countdown five to the best of the number one slot. If you want to hear number 10 through 6, go find episode 79, where we covered those number 10 through number 6. These episodes were chosen not just because they are all of them are my personal favorites, but these are chosen based on the listens, the views that we had on YouTube, the comments that we received, the DMs, some of the chatter that we get, and the shares. And so that's how these episodes were chosen. So this is our holiday treat for Hello Chaos. And again, Hello Chaos is one of the many resources brought to you by Orange Whip. That is Orange Whip, WIP, for work in progress. Orange Whip is a multimedia company dedicated to serving founders and entrepreneurs at the local level. We have designed hyperlocal platforms that are they're designed to encourage and inspire, to inform. We have curated events calendars. We have a dynamic roadmap. We tell great stories beyond just what Hello Chaos shared, but we go and feature founders in the local market. We're in three cities today. And we hope to expand in 2024. So let us know if you want to have an Orange Whip in your city. So we're going to do the best of number five through number one of Hello Chaos. So number five, this was episode 41. It was with Robbie Baxter. So Robbie comes to us. She is an expert and a consultant and she works in the subscription economy. So she had a lot of advice to give businesses that are running a subscription or are thinking about running a subscription-based business. And she goes through the evolution of the subscription-based models. She's worked with Netflix. She's worked with some of the top subscription-based model companies. And now she's bringing it down to the entrepreneur and the small business, and how can her advice help those companies. So she gives a lot of great advice. It's a very informative podcast, so it's worth a listen. Go check that out. That's episode number 41 with Robbie Baxter.
Subscriptions initially, or was it that Netflix, in terms of
product marketing?
Yeah, for you staking your claim in your expertise. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It was subscription. So I'd been a product manager, done product marketing. And, you know, early on, I was like, is that a good enough area of focus? I was like, no, because lots of people do it, and there's lots of different products, and there's big consulting firms that are focused on that. Is it about being, you know, customer centric? Well, you know, a lot of people were doing that. And then I was like, premium services, is that what it is? And I just kept like trying to figure out, I was like at the intersection, because I'd always worked for what today are called SaaS companies. And I was always kind of thinking like, is it recurring revenue? Is that what I do? And so it took a while to come up with the language. But when I started working with Netflix, I was like, I want to do more of this. So then my next client who kind of heard, oh, I heard you're working with Netflix. It was Intuit. Right. Also subscription based. They were in the early years of that. It's called PayCycle, which is a part of their business around payroll for very small businesses. And I learned some of the differences, like the way that you take care of Netflix business is very different than for Intuit, even though they're both subscriptions.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about Netflix. Netflix is a luxury. Netflix is a habit. Mm-hmm. Netflix is something that you're happy to talk about and sort of brag about to your friends, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. I mean, this is 20 years ago. Whereas, you know, your accounting software for your small business, like, I don't know. I mean, how many episodes of your show are dedicated to accounting practices for entrepreneurs? Like,
one, you know? Actually, just one so far.
One so far.
Awesome.
It's really necessary.
Yeah. Right. It's really necessary, but it's like not something necessarily that, you know, they had trouble. Like, it wasn't something that a free trial was going to get somebody to do.
Yeah.
It was more about, is it going to work? Because if I implement an accounting system and it doesn't work, I have to rip it out.
Right.
And that takes lots of people hours and lots of, new processes. And so, like, one of the things I learned is that free trial doesn't work everywhere.
Right.
Right. I had thought that every company should have a 2-week free trial, just like Netflix, because it works so well. But in the B2B space, a lot of times, the biggest hurdle isn't, I don't understand well enough to, and I don't want to pay for it till I understand it. It's more like, I don't know if it's going to fit in my environment.
Right.
And I'm afraid of the opportunity cost.
Right. Episode number 4 is with Skip Wilson. That is episode number 53. And so this is one of my personal favorites because Skip and I have known each other for, I don't know, almost a little over 20 years, but he is the founder of Draft Ad Technologies. Skip and I have known each other in the media world. We're both media buyer, planner. He was sat on the other side of the desk as I was negotiating rates and programs from him. He was my rep for 20 years. But, you know, we talk about, and that's a fun one. That's a long one. But because if you're a media nerd and love to banter or listen about like the updates and the media industry, the advertising industry, it's worth a listen. We go deep when we tell some of the war stories. But Skip's company is a solution. And it's a unique, he's kind of disrupting the market with some of his technology. So go take a listen. That is episode number 53 with Skip. I'm 9 years into being a founder and shifting, you know, from Brightcove. But then even when I started Orange Whip last year, like it magnified my ignorance or just my naivety and self-confidence. I mean, it just, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like a constant roller coaster, right? Of like being like, okay, finally I got this. And then you'll start something new and it's like, well, never mind. I don't know. I think being uncomfortable with like just not knowing answers to things. And then also, you know, I get imposter syndrome a ton. And I will say one of the biggest challenges for me is like, I'm big on like making like self-deprecating jokes and those types of things.
Yeah.
Cause I think that that's a good thing. And I think in a lot of chances it is, but like, I realized how damaging that can be though. Like when you're the leader of a company and I remember I said a joke, this was not even 4 months ago, so fairly recently, I was like jokingly like, and of course, you know, we might go out of business tomorrow, that type of thing, you know, like, and I mean it as a joke. I mean, we're not like some shit like would really have to go wrong for that to be the case. Right.
Right.
Like there would be like, it'd be zombie apocalypse level for that to happen. Right. But like making that kind of joke when you're the leader of a team is not a good idea.
Yeah.
So like, because they're, you know, they got their own stuff to worry about. Like, and then now the leader of the company has just been like, yeah, of course we might go out of business tomorrow. Ha ha ha.
Right.
I know, but they don't know.
Has that been the hardest thing is around like the culture and like building a team, or has it been in other areas?
I wouldn't say that's the hardest overall thing. That was the hardest thing that I wasn't used to at all. That was like the hardest thing that I just had no experience with whatsoever. Because when you're working for a large corporation and you're just over a part of it and you make a joke like that, everyone laughs.
It's no right.
But I would say that was the biggest difference. But no, the hardest thing in general is just the stuff that everyone sort of talks about that you know is going to be hard, like the getting up and going and putting in a full, you know, long week when no one knows whether you did a long week or not, or putting in a long week when you, I don't know, when you're always balancing that roller coaster of, oh no, we don't have enough business with, oh no, we just got these several big orders and now we've got too much business. You know, it's like, it seems like it's one, you're going from one fire to the other. Right. I'd say that is truly the hardest thing, is just the Sisyphatic like roller coaster that it is. But it's also like what makes it awesome too. I mean, that's also the fun part of it. So
it's that bouncing back yeah, and forth.
Exactly.
Is there anything that you're putting in place for the company or for yourself that's like helping to manage that balance, or creating the balance to minimize the chaos, welcoming the chaos?
Operationally, putting in a ton of, basically we've made as many things as automated as possible, and we now have like true like communication practices and like in workflow, and you know, we've got all of our we're all on the same task managers and just things like that. Mm-hmm. Operationally making sure that's all set up, but then on the personal side, making sure that, well, here I'll share my little got my own little like planner that I have every day, where it not only tracks like my appointments and those types of things, but also too making sure that I'm getting the right sleep, making sure I'm taking the right supplements, making sure.
Is that full focus?
It's, I mean, no, but it's probably the same thing. This is the Unstoppable Journal.
Uh-huh.
Probably the same thing as full focus.
Episode number 3, we have Will Lynn. That was episode number 49 with Will Lynn. You know, he comes in, he's a serial company builder. He's a co-founder of Stealth Security Startup. And I found his story just so fascinating. Actually, he's written a book called The VC Field Guide, because he started his career at working for VC companies, always knowing that he wanted to be an entrepreneur, start up his own company, run his own company. And to hear his experience and his perspective working on both sides of the table, it's fascinating. We had a great conversation, and some of his lessons learned and some of the things that, you know, tips that he had for working with VCs. So go take a listen to that. That's episode number 49 with Will Lynn. Hey, let me break down some myths, or like, are you going back and sharing some of that, the realities?
I'll write a book about it. Yeah, I'll probably write.
Yeah. Well, and okay. So I want to pivot to your book. So you've written the VC Field Guide.
Yes. Yeah.
So
yeah.
What inspired it? Yeah. Show me the cover. Show everybody the cover. For those that are just listening, he just held up. It's called, and the title is The VC Field Guide, by Will Lynn, William Lynn. What is it available on? Like Amazon?
Everywhere.
So what inspired this book?
So many things. Okay. So first of all, my experience of being in a VC. I was a junior VC. I want to be promoted. I want to become a managing director one day. I want to be one of the best of the best. And how do I do it? And I, you know, look on Google, whatever. Not a lot of good resources out there.
No.
And so luckily, I love learning by doing. And so I got the opportunity to do and to grow that way. But the whole time I was thinking, this is not efficient. Like, there's a lot of things I don't know still. And I wish if I knew this, if I knew that, I'd probably have a much more efficient time learning and like a lot less stress, a lot less pain. Mm. And so the whole time I was like, I wish there was something, like I wish there was a framework, like that I could just, like, I love systems and structure. And so It was a desire to solve a problem that I had. And eventually I feel like figured it out. I'm like, oh my God, this is perfect. It works exactly. If I knew this 10 years ago, I would have loved it. I would have a lot less pain and that kind of stuff. So that's a big chunk of it. The other big chunk is I'm really terrible at learning something and then just keeping it to myself as a competitive advantage. Really, really, I just love sharing. I was a kindergartner that bought a bunch of candy with my, you know, with my allowance and gave it to everyone else, right? So I'm just not good at holding things for myself. And so I was like, once I learned it, I needed to figure out how to share it to people who wanted it. And the book was the best format. And then I think the third one is I answer a lot of questions. Why do VCs do this? How do VCs think about this? What's happened there? That kind of thing.
Because now you're on the founder side. They're like, oh, yeah. You have the secret sauce.
I have the secret sauce. But even when I was a VC, I did a lot of it too. Like I was a sharer. Like I just love sharing. And so I started thinking, well, there are a lot of people in the world I don't know or aren't in my network. And even if I tried to help as many people as I could, I get limited by my time as well. The book was like such a brilliant way to scale up, sort of the way I like helping the world anyway. And so it was like, okay, I didn't think it was gonna be 200 hours, but I'll invest 200 hours into writing this book. I thought it was gonna be a lot less.
Was it really 200 hours? Or are you saying, you know, how many hours did you think it was gonna be?
I thought it was gonna be
like
50.
It was 200. Okay, sorry. I just was curious.
It was, and then I also didn't realize I needed to hire, like I needed a lot of help in order to even make it possible in 200 hours. So I hired I got an agent, had editors, like multiple.
giving you red lines.
I had lots of readers. It was probably 500, 600 hours in terms of all the people doing their thing, maybe more actually. I did not realize it was me so much time investment, but in the end, I got the book. The book can scale, right? Like each additional person that gets the book, it requires zero additional time for me to help them. This is the beauty of, you know, venture capital, right? Like beauty of software, finding things at scale. And if there's product market fit, if people want the book, for example, they can buy it easily and it doesn't require asking me for help or buying it from me. So that part's cool.
And it didn't scare you off if you're thinking about, oh, you know what? I can now write another book.
Once I figured it out, like this is the thing, like I figured out the model, I figured out how to do it efficiently. Mm-hmm. And if this book ends up being very helpful to others, then yeah, I should write more books because this is who I am. I love sharing my
life.
And so writing a whole book of learning, saying just purely based off of my VC turn entrepreneur, my humbling journey, the journey that humbles me like crazy.
Every day.
Just getting humble, getting punched in the face, you know, that kind of stuff.
Slap, slap, slap. Yep.
Yeah.
Now we have, we're getting close to the best of. It's our number two, the runner up. So this was episode number 70. And it was actually an episode that I did on learning branding from master brands. And we got a lot of great feedback on this podcast. It was really more informative, educational. I walked people through kind of the steps of what we go through, like a discipline process for developing a brand strategy, you know, just things that you need to remind yourself as a, whether it's a startup, whether you're a business owner that's been in business for 10, 20 years, always good to kind of revisit some of these design thinking techniques. This was a favorite. And believe me, I don't think it had anything to do with me or my voice. I think it was the information that was provided. This one's packed full of goodies. So go check this episode out. This was episode number 70, and it's branding lessons from Master Brand. Age with your company? How do they feel about your company? What do they think about your company today? And then take some time and go, what do you want them to think or to act and or engage with your company, feel about your company tomorrow? Because ultimately, there's probably a gap in there, right? And when we start saying, like, understanding the gaps, if there are things that you come up and go, well, I don't know how they think or act, well, that might be something you might need to research. And research can be as basic as doing some interviews, or you know, reach out to a firm like Bright. We do research that we can uncover whatever, you know, those insights are. Or if you're like, I've never thought about what they think about my competitors in relation to me, that, you know, that might be helpful, you know, or to think through, maybe I'm making assumptions that I shouldn't be making assumptions, right? So that's a good exercise to really understand who your audience are in relation to. And at the end of the day, you're trying to figure out, here's the wants and needs of these people that I'm trying to serve, and here are my strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. How do they align? What are the gaps? But we say it's like, we call it the bullseye, kind of in the middle of, if this is what your customers' needs and wants are, and this is your company strength, what's in the middle? Because that is what we need to define as those unique service offerings or unique product offerings, those features, those attributes. Define those. What's right in the middle?
Also, that is the place where, I mean, we talked about this with the Orange Whip being Mental Health Awareness Month and all that.
Right.
If you are trying to operate on one side of the, or the other for your strengths, you will just, you'll be out of sorts.
Right.
You're going to be so stressed. And so if you can stay in your strengths, you're going to, one, be happier and provide a better product for your customers. And I know it's, we're talking about branding, but like at some point, as every founder, you are the brand. And if it's not who you are, then right, it's a pointless situation, right? Right?
So, yeah, because I mean, you got to be a good, you feel like you're dragging something uphill. Right?
Absolutely.
And a lot miserable. Of it is because it's either a lot of brands struggle or businesses struggle because they've made an assumption of, my product or service offering is more valuable than competitor XYZ.
Yeah.
And they've made that assumption. And they're operating and advertising or promoting and spending a lot of energy around an assumption that might not be true. Or what we try to look at and go, you know, when we do research for companies, what we found and find sometimes, and it sucks to deliver this type of a insight, but when you're like, okay, what you think the your brand does or your product offering is, the customer doesn't want it, doesn't help them. And so here you've designed something and you've built a company around something that nobody wants. That is not good. And so, you know, then you've got to like, well, maybe it's this audience. Maybe it's not this right market. So again, trying to, like, a lot of companies, a lot of owners and founders don't take the time to really do what I call do the empathy map or the the audience exercise.
Sure.
To really align and really understand the audiences, the markets, and make sure that their product is and their service offering is a market fit and that it aligns with their strengths.
Yeah.
Because that's, and then it becomes, whoa, we've, you know, hey, the audience, the customer wants all this, but a competitor might be doing it better, but can you out-message them? Can you out-market them? And there's, again, it helps you figure out what's your blueprint for your strategy or your advertising program. So it's like, we always say, take the time up front to do some of these exercises because it'll save you so much money down the road and little disciplines.
It's hard to rebuild. It's hard to, once you already got your brand established, it's not like you got one shot, but it's hard to rebrand.
Yeah.
And you see people do it wrong all the time.
Or they're spending money into, I call it, they're shouting into the void. And so that's why, like, a lot of times people come to us and go, I have an advertising problem. I'm not getting the results I need. Maybe I'm not, and it's like, well, I need to spend more. Well, it's like, well, you're just shouting into a void because your value proposition is not valued to the people you're marketing to. So we've got to figure out, is it a, that it might not be an advertising problem. It's most likely a messaging problem. And that starts with then what's the brand? The, you know, number one, you know, I don't know, that's my drum roll. But the number one, the best episode that we, best listeners, best comments, most DMs that we received was episode number 38 with Doug Limeberry with Burr and Foreman. He is an IP attorney. It was actually the second time we had him on, and we had him in 2022. He's one of our first guests on the podcast. That also, the one that we did in earlier in 2022, again, lots of great lists, you know, DMs and listens on that one. But specific to this episode, episode number 38, he goes deep into what do you do when you receive a cease and desist? How do you prevent working up so you avoid those? But then what do you do when that happens? So it's a great episode. You know, he talks about not to panic. There are different avenues to explore and to resolve the issue. But he gives some just invaluable advice around that subject. So that is our favorite and our best episode. And that is episode number 38 with Doug Limeberry. So there you have it, folks. We covered the number 5 through number 1 in this episode. And, you know, but we covered top 10 episodes from 2023. If you want to do a look back in episode number 79, we covered number 10 through number 6. And we had a great time in 2023. We are looking forward to 2024. I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. However you celebrate, just be healthy, be warm, be safe, and keep moving forward. Keep welcoming that chaos and just do it. Just, you know, find startup or scale or just keep building your business and keep listening. We're here for you. So stay tuned for 2024. We'll see you next week.
I want to get into a little bit of the back to those 7 stages of grief, you know, because now that we know exactly like what to do, how do you talk people through that when those things happen?
Yeah, first thing you do is meet or Zoom. This is not a telephone thing. Hmm. You need the client to actually get familiar with you because guess what? You're going to start digging. Mm-hmm. You're going to start asking a lot of questions. You're going to say, hey, I need to know it. So build a rapport with whoever your counsel is. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds so silly and touchy-touchy, but it's a great thing to do, especially in an age where everybody still likes to be a keyboard warrior. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the person you're asking to protect your brand. Be comfortable with them. You know, sit down with them. Understand that they take it seriously. So that first step is communication. Mm-hmm. And again, be open about it. Tell us what if there's hair on the mole, please tell us. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't and you try to hide it, the other side may find it out and throw it back. And that's then, right. Unfortunately, we're on our back foot peddling because, oh, wow.
You can't, make your argument.
What kinds of things do people try to hide from you?
You know, not try to hide. You know, sometimes let's go with the innocence, the naivete approach here.
Forget to mention to you.
That's it. That better way of putting it. Forget to mention conscious.
I love how Jenna is always like the nefarious, side.
Jenna, law school awaits you if you want to go there. I'm just saying. The avenue's always open.
Well, you know what? Half the people in law school when I was in journalism school were like, yeah, I thought about journalism school. And half the J school kids have been thinking about law school.
It's just kind of an exchange program. You're like, all right,
we're always the ones to shut down the parties, too. The last 2 drinkers of the J school and the law school. I don't know what that says about society.
Alcoholism and conscious narcissism. But no, y'all got the right thing. What do they try to hide? And that's really, it's an awesome question because don't try to hide something from your attorney. It all will out. You know, for patents, for instance, one thing that somebody might hide is, hey, you know, I've been selling this thing for a while. Because for a patent, if you've been selling it more than a year, you can't protect it. Mm. And if you go to your attorney and like, hey, I've been selling this more than a year, the attorney's going to be like, well, unless you have some significant changes over this particular model, you can't get a patent on it. on it. So somebody might hide that one from you and be like, oh, no, no, never hit it. But if you have a competitor comes out who challenges your patent, they're going to find it. You know, for trademarks, hiding it, you know, where'd you get your idea for this? You know, what if you are intentionally trying to copy somebody else's mark? You know, what if you were like, yeah, man, I looked at it, because if you've had conversation with folks in your company about, oh my gosh, you know, look at that McDonald's arch. It's so elegant. We should do that for us. Let's make ours look like it, but we'll make it red and angular. Well, guess what? If you've been telling everybody, hey, I want to look like McDonald's, and that's why I chose this. That doesn't go so well in the litigation scenario, you know. Other things, just trying to think of it. Delay, and again, I'm not even saying that's conscious, but a lot of people hit it with the, oh my gosh, it costs money. Oh my gosh, I'll think about it. But y'all know how, what a Tuesday's like. Yeah. You want to turn around, and the next thing is, it's next Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then it's three Tuesdays away. And all of a sudden, you know, you've had somebody file a similar trademark, and then you come back to the attorney like, time to go. And the attorney's like, time to not. You know, it's like, I've got some bad news. We got to figure this out.
Yeah.
So, but again, y'all, the main thing is, again, be honest with your attorney.
Even
if it's uncomfortable, because guess what? You would rather be given the bad news by your attorney than by the other side. And then your attorney almost, they don't become an enemy, but they definitely are looking at you with a raised eyebrow going,
what else did you not share?
That's right. You've stuck my neck out. I just got it chopped off. We need to have a heart to heart now. And it causes it a loss of credibility.
It absolutely makes your job harder.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So at what point does somebody have to consider sharing this situation with the team, right? You're a founder, you're hit with this thing.
Great question.
And maybe if you're an established company, when does it get
an
all hands on deck kind of thing?
Well, first thing, I'm going to say it depends, because it's the lawyer answer, but a smaller, a smaller organization that only had a couple principals, y'all going to tell each other immediately, hey, you know, Jenna's going to get it and go, JJ, you won't believe what we got in the mail. You'd sit down, you digest it. Now, if y'all have 5,000 employees, do you put it on an all points bulletin? You do not. You know, you're going to want to handle this. And again, a slow, thoughtful, non-panicked manner. You know, because, hey, you know, guess what? Some of these are crap. You know, you'll have somebody send you something that's just wasteful. And it's like, all right, this is just a waste of time. Now, you might have to do damage control.
Is it more just like a bullying
absolutely.
The bullying tactic.
That is one of the offensive uses of it. If you want to try to stymie somebody in the market, if you want to try to push them back down, if you want to put a finger on them and maybe keep them from expanding so fast, completely your option. But again, if you do it with bad facts, they're just going to smack you in the face and be like, nope. And again, now that you've had this situation sort of undressed by the other side, it's going to be like, oh, wow, you were alleging and made all these allegations. Well, here are all my counters that are actually based in fact and yours aren't. That's kind of a bad thing. And their attorney, too, is going to, they might posture and come back with you like, well, be watching you. But again, no, so if they say it in that voice, it comes across. It's like a Harry Potter thing where you open the letter.
That's right.
It'll be watching you. It also means, yeah, from a distance, because we don't like the way these facts worked out.
Right.
You know? So that is my main thing for folks, is you got to have that candor with counsel always.
Yeah.
And I get it. Sometimes it hurts and sometimes you don't like the advice. You won't like it more than the bill when the attorney has to come behind you with a push broom to pick up the pieces. You know? You know, other protections too, y'all, it's like you've got to think of it. And again, I'll tell you this, if it's not yours, don't touch it. You know, if somebody looks at Hello Chaos on this podcast, like, oh, I want to be Hello Chasm, or I want to be Hello Randomness, or Hello Frenetic Energy. No, you know, no. It's like,
I use your creative muscle.
It is. Go a different way. I mean, Jenna, you nailed it on the head. Be creative and go a different way. Right. Influenced by it, that's fine. Mimicry, not cool. And outright copying, absolutely not cool. But that also falls true for any, like, you know, sampling music, taking lyrics from a song, copying stuff from a web page. You know, those letters of, hey, you did something bad, you need to say, hey, did I? That's your first question. If the answer is I did not, then you're going to respond accordingly. If the answer is like, maybe I did, tell your attorney. You know, figure out where there's a way to reach this middle ground. But again, if it's completely baseless and you're just like, I didn't do this, I don't know what's going on, tell your attorney that.
Yeah.
But say, hey, yeah, we were kind of influenced by this, or yeah, I definitely listed that from the website. What do we do? Allow the attorney to at least have that information.
Okay.
Because trust me, you might just get a bland letter, but there's a bunch more evidence on the other side we haven't seen yet. So you can't act like they don't know what you did.
Right.
You have to be like, attorney, let me tell you what happened and let's figure it out from there.
Okay. So there you have it, folks. We covered the number 5 through number 1 in this episode. And, you know, but we covered top 10 episodes from 2023. If you want to do a look back in episode number 79, we covered number 10 through number 6. And we had a great time in 2023. We are looking forward to 2024.